If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I need you to see the effect that faith in the kingdom has. In verse 48, many people charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. Then Jesus stood still, and the Bible says, and commanded him to be called. Jesus stopped walking and said, that man over there that's calling me, bring him over here. Watch this. And the same people that told him to shut up are now saying, be of good comfort. He calleth for you. My brothers and sisters, strap yourself in. All God needs is one person with faith to turn the doubting Thomases into believing Simons. You'd stop letting people that doubt bring you down. You walk in your faith. You stay connected to your faith, and you're going to turn them around. You're going to turn them, and they're going to start agreeing with you. They're going to start saying there must be something to your faith, that your God is God, that your God is awesome, that your God is somebody special. They said, bring him over. He calls for you. Now, I love this. I love Jesus is my hero. The man just, he don't care what you think. He don't care. Jesus is not theological. The Bible said he calls him. And they said, be of good comfort. He calls for you. And look at what it says in verse 50. And he got up and tossed off his garment and came to Jesus. Now, I don't know how he got there. He's blind. I don't know. The text don't say. It just says he came. Peter is dictating this to Mark. So Peter was there. So he said, man, when the man got the news that Jesus wanted him, he just stood up and ripped off his outer garment, and he just came to Jesus. And Mark was so excited about what happened, he didn't say, Pete, how'd he get there? Did Jesus walk to him, or did he go to where the sound was? I would imagine that because he could not see, he went to where the sound. There are people out in the street that are bound by the devil, and our praise goes out of the walls and out of the doors. And they may not want to come to church, but they come to where the sound is. And so that's why we have to have a sound, because there's deliverance and faith in the sound. The last obstacle, the last hurdle to entering into the promised land was a city by the name of Jericho. They had fought everybody else, and Jericho had formidable walls, walls that were 12 to 14 feet thick. Are you hearing me? Over 60 feet high. And God says, this is how you're going to bring it down. You ain't going to scale it. I'm not going to have you rappel up and down. No, no, no. You're going to bring it down with noise. Now, the first six trips around, I need you to be quiet so that you can get the majesty of silence. To know that the less noise there is, the more my presence is there. Because when God can shut us up, he can now move. And then on the seventh day, when you go to shout, the seventh day is the time that what you're doing is that for 6 days you let him in, but now you're going to let him out. So I need all of you to shout, and I don't care what you shout. You can shout I, O, E, whatever you need to shout. Just get it out of you, because that's how the walls are going to come down. Your shout will be a sign to the angels that they can bring the walls down now, because you are ready to go in. You can't go anywhere that you don't praise God for before you get in. When you shout, you're letting the angels know, I'm ready to go into my healing. I'm ready to go into my deliverance. Now they can bring the walls down. So now, He now runs to Jesus with hope. Jesus has asked for him. I mean, who among us would not be excited when Christ asks for an audience with you? Jesus wants you. Jesus is calling for you. Can you imagine you taking your blind self over to the one who can solve your problems? But when he reaches Jesus, Jesus is the master. The man comes to Jesus, and Jesus recognizes he has many needs. He's blind. He's begging, which means he don't have a job. There's no conversation about anybody with him, so maybe he lacks friends. We can postulate many theories about this. There's evidence that there's some needs in his life. So when he comes to Jesus, Jesus said, when you enter into my presence, there must be specificity of request. Because a double-minded person is unstable. So now that you're in here, what has your faith propelled you to ask for? He said, Lord, I just want to see. Now, as we continue through this text, you will notice something is very ominous in its absence. Something that we think the master should have done, that every evangelist and pastor and preacher would have done. But Jesus so cleverly omits this in his discourse with this man. He calls for the man. He stops moving so the man can catch him. Don't you love that about God? That God will slow down so you can catch up to him. And he calls this man. And when the man comes to him, he says, what do you want? And the man says, I just want to see. And Jesus does not pray for him. He does not lay a hand on him. He does not spit in his eye. He does not put dirt on his eye. He does not ask for oil to anoint him. He looks at this man and says, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And Mark says, immediately, this man's sight. My. I submit to you that the touch that he needed was granted when Jesus stopped. Him coming to Jesus was the end of that mission. When Jesus stopped, his healing had begun. The only thing missing was the specific request. And when Jesus finally pulled the specific request out of him, he stepped into the revelation of healing. That while you're sitting around waiting for a touch from God, God is saying, touch me. When he began to call, touch me. You let the doctors pull on you and probe on you and pinch you and stick you and x-ray you and test you, but then you don't call on God. You may say, Lord, help me, but all you really need to do is give him praise. You need to rationalize in your mind that the situation that I find myself in is not to limit what God is able to do. For I am extracting from the kingdom the power that's needed to get me through this limited moment of despair. For the greater the adversary, the more beautiful the victory. Verse 52 says he was made whole, and immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus. I love this. In the way. That means he followed Jesus and did what Jesus told him to do. You see, my brothers and sisters, God knows you have needs. And I will not put a plural on needs. And if you notice that Jesus only addresses your central need. And once the central need is addressed, everything else is taken care of. You don't come to God and say, my God shall supply all my needs. The text doesn't say my needs. It says, my God shall supply all you need. It's an interesting verb. In our use of language, it could be a plural, but in the text of the Word of God, it's a singular because God only operates on your primary need. You see, your primary need is connection with the Christ. Once that connection has been established, the rest of the stuff just falls by revelation of who he is. So I go from connection to revelation to demonstration. Once I find out that Jesus is my healer, I no longer need healing. I need the healer. Once I find he is my deliverer, I no longer need deliverance. I have the deliverer. And the situation that I may find myself in at the moment has nothing to do with my permanent position in him. Because the relationship never, ever ends. And so our faith needs to stretch. It needs to stretch like Bartimaeus. It needs to stretch like the four boys carrying the bed. We don't let God stretch our faith. We won't let him do it, because when he lets something negative come to us, we panic and we begin to go to the computer to ask unsaved people what they think is wrong with us. That's like taking your Maserati to Pep Boys. But I don't take my GL450 to Pep Boys, not even for an oil change. I got a pre-maintenance plan. They said, well, why would you do that? I said, because ain't nobody else touching my car but them. Your faith comes from God. Why are you letting doctors and everybody else touch your faith? You already have it paid for. Why are you going on WebMD to find out what's wrong with you? Go to Jesus and say, Jesus, the doctor said this, but I need to know what you say. And Jesus will say, you don't have stage 4 cancer. You got an issue that I need to deal with. Jesus will tell you, that's not no cancerous lump in you. That's just some growth that you don't even need to worry about. So stand up and give me praise and stop worrying about it. And when you go back to the doctor, they still gonna see the lump, but they gonna wonder why you got so much joy, because you talked to the chief physician. If I take my car over to a generic mechanic, they might run into something and say, we can't fix it. But when I take it to the dealership, they have never told me we can't fix it, because they know what to do. I was having a problem with my satellite radio. It was always going in and out. So I'd call Sirius, and I was on the phone with the tech rep, and they were walking me through all this stuff. And I went through all their bells and whistles. And at the end of a 22-minute exam, he said, you need to take it back to the dealer. I took it back to the dealer. When I pulled into the dealership, the radio kicked back on. Why? Because the radio said, I better work right, because I can't hide from the people who made me. That's what your soul says. The devil's out there lying to you and messing with you, and your soul is all bound and oppressed. But when you come into the house of worship, knowing that you're about to get the word of God, your soul straightens up and flies right. Say, because if I don't, God's going to show it what's wrong. That's why the devil try to keep you out of church, so he can keep you bound, so he can keep you oppressed, so he can keep you dysfunctional. But when you come to church, your soul says, get up in there, wake up in there, get yourself together. I'm around some crazy people.
If you believe God, for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10416P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
CKF Drama Ministry returns with its latest play entitled Home, where what happens at home stays at home. Please make plans to join them now. It's all happening right here in Bethel's main sanctuary on Sunday, December 18th at 7 o'clock p.m. Doors will open at 6:30 and there will be a free will offering. Please come out and join us for this wonderful theatrical presentation. And always remember, there's something good at home.